Amen. So we're going to continue to talk about setting things right, about substance over style. You know, substance. I mean, you can fake your way through the Christian walk. You can tell people you're a Christian, you love God, and it's all great. It's all, but at the end of the day, substance will show. Amen? What's down deep in your heart will show, because everybody goes through life, and everybody hits rough patches in life, and everybody goes through ups and downs in life, and how you handle those things is going to reveal some substance. Amen? It's going to reveal substance in who you are. And many times in life, we know how to play the style game, but I believe God wants us to set things right, to be people of substance. And for this, for some reason, in this summer, He wants to bring this point home to all of us. Be people of substance. Be real. Be genuine. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. We need to be in church. We need to be givers. All these principles that we built around a thought of being people of substance. We need to do those things. And when we don't do those things, we need to be honest with ourselves and say we aren't doing those things and asking God the hard questions. Why, Lord? And you'll find out. When you're not having that daily relationship with God, what you'll find out is the answer is surrendering. Amen? If you're here this morning and you're honest with yourself and you ask yourself, why don't I read my Bible every day? Why don't I pray to Him every day? Why am I not in church as often as I should be? Or why? If you honestly ask yourself these questions, why am I unable to tithe? Because I know if I tithe, I can't pay my bills. And you're struggling with these principles. Underneath all of that, the reasons we can't do those things is surrender. Because surrender requires faith. Amen? In order for me to say, God, I surrender my finances to You, I surrender this to You, in order to really get there, it takes an act of faith to say, I'm surrendering that, and then I'm just going to trust that God will figure it out. It really is. And so this morning, when you ask yourself these questions, honestly, because I'm interested more than anything else in that each and every one of you in this room is growing in the Lord as much as possible. And when I see people transformed, and that there's no greater feeling in the world than to know that someone is growing and that you are a part of that growth. And each and every one of you can be a part of somebody's growth. It's not just pastors and leaders. Every one of us are called to be people of substance, and people of substance transform the world. And they transform people. But we gotta set things right so that you can be those people of substance. And I believe this morning He's reminding us, be people of substance. Last week I talked about the temple. The first temple was so grand, so beautiful. And remember that King David wasn't able to build the temple because he had a lot of blood on his hands. And so his son Solomon built a beautiful temple. The whole world at the time was talking about the beauty of this temple and the wisdom of Solomon. And it was just spectacular. And the children of Israel, they had trouble keeping God first in their lives. Anybody ever had that trouble? Be honest. They had trouble keeping God first in their lives. And so they weren't people of substance. And the style was beautiful. But the style dies. Anybody notice that the style, like the latest fashion, and nobody's wearing bell bottoms anymore. But in the 70s, you know, if you didn't have bell bottoms, you weren't in style, right? Maybe there were some holdouts even then. Brother Casiano, or who remembers that 70s? Don't want to embarrass anybody, but. Amen. Did you have some bell bottoms, brother? Yes, you got them. Okay, you were hip. You were in style. But you know, styles, they come and they go. And in churches, they come and they go. But above all, substance doesn't come and go. When you're a person of substance, it's eternal. Amen? It doesn't come and go. And so this temple was grand, and it was destroyed because style was temporary. The substance was gone, and the people, they didn't follow God. And so the second temple was built, and we read last week, the very interesting thing that happened is that the older people that saw the first temple cried when they saw the new foundation of the second temple. But the young people who didn't even see the first temple were like, hooray, we're building the temple again. And they didn't know that the other one was bigger, better. So they were cheering. And so at the same time, you had cheering and crying happening at the same time, at the same dedication, at the same service. Can you imagine that? Joy and sadness, you know. And we learned last week that God showed up and he basically said this to the eldest that were crying because they were sad. He says, do not think lightly of small things. As long as I show up, God said, as long as my glory shows up, it will be all you need. It will be grander. My glory will be greater in the second temple than in the first temple. And this is true for all of us. All of us in our lives. What's more important is that God shows up and that we are letting him take over our lives. And we are people of substance. Things in our life may not look important or grand or fancy as it does for other people. But if God shows up, if his glory fills our temple, our bodies, then that's all we need. And we sang that song, I Need You, Lord. And we felt his presence because he responds to people who are real, people of substance who really cry out to him. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. It matters that we are people of substance. Revival begins with you. A move of God begins with people of substance. And now we know that the second temple was torn down for the same reason. Style over substance. But the third temple is you and me. The Bible's clear in the New Testament that we are the temple. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple. God is looking at hearts whose temple is clean, whose temple is filled with God's glory, and that comes with surrender. Because when you were born, it wasn't God's temple. We're all born sinners. But when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, when we receive him as Lord and Savior, he washes us by his blood and we become a temple of righteousness. Amen? Amen? That's amazing. Knowing how unworthy we all are to think that we are a holy temple before God. I'm having trouble getting past that. I mean, Lord, are you sure that you want to use us? Well, his word is pretty clear. It is his character that his glory, that the world will see his glory through you. That is what he's doing to you. He's preparing you so his glory can flow through you. Basically, to become someone of substance, real. That when you speak to someone, they're not words. It's glory. It's power. It's God through you. It's humbling, isn't it? It really is humbling. So I wanted to go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 37 this morning, if you'll turn there. It's easy to find Exodus, right? Genesis? Anybody know the second book in the Bible? Exodus. Chapter 12, verse 37. And I want to use these Old Testament stories to highlight God really hasn't changed. The Bible does say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's righteousness, His character, has never changed. Who He is, He loves us. How men receive salvation over time has changed because of the Old Testament, the sacrifices, Jesus Christ, and now us. That has changed because Jesus paid it all. But what has never changed is who God is. He's a good God. He's a loving God. That has not changed. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 37 through 42, let's read there. 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Egypt, from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, and there were men besides children. 600,000 without children, that's probably about 1 million people. Can you imagine that in those days? 2,000 years. Did they have air conditioning? I don't think they had air conditioning. No. This is Egypt, desert. That's rough. 1 million people leaving Egypt. It was time to go. And you know the story. Moses goes, the Pharaoh, 10 plagues. And his eldest son dies, and he says, "Go, get out of here." And the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt, says to the God's people, the Jewish people, "Go," and they leave. And this is where we're at. And they're ready to go, 1 million of them, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds. So not just 1 million people; they had animals. And they baked unleavened cakes and dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. They were in a hurry. They were, "Get out now." And could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. They were in Egypt for 430 years. That means that you have third, fourth, fifth, sixth generations of children that have been born, and all they know is Egypt. That's all they know. The first generation wasn't even alive anymore, or second or third probably. But you get the idea. Think about it. They're established. This is all they know. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. Many things had to happen in order to get to this point of leaving Egypt. Number one, Moses had to stop making excuses. Amen? Moses, when God came to Moses, the burning bush, you know, you've seen it on TV, right? He says, "Go," and Moses says, "I can't. I'm not the right person. I don't speak well in front of people." And he was just making excuses upon excuses. And he had to stop. That was number one. If Moses didn't stop making excuses, we wouldn't be here. Number two, Pharaoh had to be broken. The 10 plagues. You know the story, the frogs, the flies, all of the water turning to blood, and all those plagues that occurred. It broke Pharaoh. His oldest son died, because he wouldn't listen, and that was the 10th plague. He was broken. And number three, they had to pick up their stuff, and they had to leave to an unknown destination, 1 million with animals, and they had to do all of this by faith. Faith. They don't know. They didn't know where they were going. Moses didn't get the map out and say, "Okay, all you, we're gonna, go here and here and then get there. That's our. They didn't have any idea. They had to go. Those are. I was thinking about just those three things. First, Moses stopped making excuses, Pharaoh being broken, and then leaving by faith. And I thought about that, and as I thought about that, it sounded very, very familiar. Each and every one of us in our journey in Christ have encountered these three things. How many of you got to that point where you just had to stop making excuses? Say, God, I keep putting excuses. I can't. This is happening. That is happening. I can't get it right. I can't set it right, Lord. There's excuses. Amen? It needs to stop. Amen? Get it right. And Moses finally got it right. And then Pharaoh had to be broken. And I find that in my Christian walk, there was a point I was already saved. I was serving the Lord. And there was a point when I hit a point in life that I didn't know if I wanted to keep going. I was kind of comfortable. And God got me to the point where He had to break me. And I believe all of us get to those points in life as a Christian. Here you go on a journey. Because see, the enemy doesn't want you to fulfill all that God has for you. If he's lost you to salvation, he wants you to stop right here because you won't impact anybody else there. Amen? And God has no interest in lukewarmness or in us being stagnant. I hit that point in my life. And I remember falling to my knees and in my closet space and in my own private time with the Lord. And I remember just being broken. I thought I was a Christian, and how come I don't have a foundation that I feel that's solid in my life? I thought I had it all figured out. But God told me clearly, I don't want 90%. I want all of you. And it broke me. And just... saying yes to Jesus is great, but I've come to learn that if you want all the blessings and goodness and all, if you want the promised land in your life, you got to be broken. And to some of us, it's a little easier than others. Some of us are a little more stubborn than others. But it's all good because God loves us. And he does. The reason he's trying to break us, and I love that Psalm because it 23, because it says, "He maketh us to lie in green pastures." The word "maketh" isn't voluntary. He makes us. And so, whatever it is in your life, because all of us are on a different journey, broken. Pharaoh was broken. And he had to let the people go. And number three, and we all have experienced this in our lives, then we have all of us to leave Egypt and start putting our faith in Jesus and go to that place. I don't know where I'm headed. I really don't. You know, next week, next month, next year, God could be pretty clear and say, "You're done, Pastor, and go." I really don't know where I'm going. I just know we live day by day. And I trust that God knows what He's doing because I don't. But this is what I do know. That when you are finally in those places where you stop making excuses, where you allow God to break you and you surrender all, and you're willing to go wherever He takes you by faith, you will see miracles. You will see the Red Sea open. You will see what they saw. So it takes people of substance to get what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today and say, "That's me. I want to be the one that goes and breaks these barriers and grows in the Lord. I want to be the one that impacts other people for the kingdom of God." It takes people willing to surrender. Because to say that, you know, Jesus said a very famous scripture. He said, to follow me, you got to die. If you want to live, you got to die. And he says, consider the cost in following me. There is a cost, but I tell you, it's worth it all. Amen. It's worth it all. When you start seeing God move mountains, when you start seeing God make a way in the prayers that you've been praying, when you start seeing God do amazing things, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. So these three things, they apply to all of us. The children of God would have never experienced God's amazing power and signs and wonders if they would have stayed in Egypt. You will never experience God's power and His signs and wonders in your life if you just stay in that place where God doesn't want you to be. We must set things right and leave Egypt, that place that represents bondage. Egypt represents slavery to sin. We got to leave that place. It is God's character to bring greatness out of you. So His Holy Spirit continues to remind you and me every day to get out of Egypt and to go to the promised land, that place where God is there. There you will see God's hand move on your behalf. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. So just think these millions of people with their animals were kind of forced out. And there they are. The chances are not good for survival in a desert. And water and what they took out of Egypt wasn't going to sustain them forever. And you know how long they stayed in the wilderness? Anybody know? 40. I'm pretty sure they did not bring 40 years worth of stuff out of Egypt. The only way they survived out there was all God. Amen. All God. And these same people exist today in the land of Israel. It's just a miracle because God made a promise to Abraham. He said that your seed would number the stars. All of this was happening to fulfill that promise. Amen. Those people in the desert didn't deserve to find the promised land. And we'll read why in a minute. But you know what? God keeps His promises. And God will keep His promise to you. Amen? Amen? And yes, sometimes you don't deserve Him. Amen? But He keeps His promises because He's a good, good Father. It's who He is. Love that song. Just love that song. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away henceforth. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped to Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, and He not the fire by night from before the people. So here we go, miracle number one, right? Well, the plagues were miracles, so I guess it wasn't number one, but they're on their journey. And they have shade. A million people are going to need some shade. And according to God's word, the cloud cover led them. And at night, they had a nice little fire. And according to God's holy word, it led them at night. God does this for us. You may be thinking, well, no, God, there are things you don't even know that God protected you because a miracle happened and you don't even know about it. Amen. And sometimes you do find out later. God does this for His people. Cloud by day, fire by night. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. And it gets better. They're stuck. The Egyptian army is coming after them, and Moses stretches out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued them and went after them in the midst of the sea, even after Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now, if I was the Egyptians and I see this fire keeping me, I would kind of like, okay, God's on their side here. I think I better back off. No. Pharaoh was so mad and he was so wanting to get after them that his heart was hardened. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again, and the Egyptians upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came unto the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were the wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Well, I would hope that they believed at that point. They just witnessed an army, God defeating an army without them having to lift any weapons. See, God will do this for his people. People of substance. People seeking him. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. Two through four. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father, my God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. Well, that was a miracle. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 2, and the whole congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron and in the wilderness. Now, you would think after a few miracles they would stop murmuring and start trusting God. You know, they saw a lot of miracles, but when they would get into a hard time, their substance would show. Their hearts would show. And instead of them getting on their knees and saying, God, we've seen you take us out of Egypt by your miracle-working hands, and Lord, we get on our knees and we ask you to continue to provide a way for us. Those are people of substance that pray that when they're in trials. But instead of doing that, they came whining to Moses. And the whole congregation of Israel, they murmured. And they even went as far as to say in verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto Moses, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread and to the full, and we were fed in Egypt, and at least we had some water in Egypt. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Don't you get mad hearing that? God just got them out of all this, and they're telling Moses and murmuring, complaining, you brought us out here to die. All they could see is death. Because they were not people of substance. They were following and enjoying God's miracles, but they weren't believing by faith that all is well. And this morning, when you look at your own heart, sometimes you hit a rough patch here or there. Sometimes you're going through some hard things. Don't murmur. Don't be those people that didn't have substance. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust. All I need is you, Lord. And you'll see his hand. He'll come and make a way where there seems to be no way. And if there's anything we learn from this lesson, is we don't want to be like the murmuring children of Israel. But look at verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So God says, okay, they're hungry. I'm going to feed them. Every morning, bread's going to show up, and they're going to eat. And I want to see, are they going to follow my laws now? Did the children of Israel deserve God to do these miracles? No. But God made a promise. And he keeps his promises. Do we always deserve God's signs and wonders and for him to bless us? The answer is honestly, like the children of Israel, no. But he keeps his promises. And as long as we have our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, he keeps his promises. And it gives us appreciation to be people of substance. He's worthy. He's worthy. Last story in Exodus chapter 17, verse 3. So he provided manna for them. And the people thirsted. So they got food and now they're thirsty. They must have run out of that Egypt water. And they're thirsty and they're in the desert. And at least they have a cloud in the day and some fire at night. But now they're thirsty. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle? With thirst, and Moses cried out unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou hast smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is this Lord among us or not? They asked for water. God gave them water. The key to seeing God move in a powerful way in your life is to be about your Father's business. Amen. Moses stopped making excuses. Pharaoh was broken. And then Moses just trusted God by faith that they were being led. Align your life, your heart, according to this Holy Bible. No excuses. Allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin in your life. Then leaving that place of bondage, leaving that place where God's not at, that place that represents Egypt in this story, leave it. As we begin to live life with intention for Him, things in our lives will become clear. I've noticed that when you begin to surrender all to God, like everything, even those secrets that nobody knows about, when you begin to surrender them all, then all of a sudden, things will become clear. Things will become clear. When you read His word, it will become clear. I understand. Egypt represents a place of bondage. A place where God does not want us to be. And so as we've been talking about setting things right this summer, look down deep in your heart. Where are those places of Egypt for you? Where are those places that God does not want you to be? And leave. Be broken. Be vulnerable. And when you leave, you may feel lost for a moment. You may feel directionless, like the children of Israel did. Moses didn't know exactly where he was headed. But at the end of this story, at the end of this journey for the children of Israel, after 40 years of murmuring and complaining, I didn't even get to the Ten Commandments. Moses left and they lost their leader and they had no substance, so they started to build a golden calf. These were rebellious people. But God loved them. He cared for them. And still kept His promises. Though we don't like to admit it, we can be rebellious people. But He loves us. He cares for us. And this morning, I pray you wrote something down or have a thought that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Because it's time to leave Egypt. It's time to take that walk to the promised land by faith. Trust in God. It's time for God's people to rise above and begin to move towards God's plan for their lives. By faith, move. When we get stuck in front of obstacles, don't worry. The Red Sea will open. When you feel lost for a moment, don't worry. He keeps His promises. He says in His Word, He will direct our path. He says that the steps of righteous are ordered by God. So this morning, as a church, we're setting things right this summer. We're not afraid to be broken. We've considered the cost. As a church congregation, I believe God's preparing us this summer to set it right, to leave Egypt, to see the miracles. I want us in the count of three as a congregation to stand. And by standing, we're proclaiming this. We're proclaiming we're taking steps out of Egypt. And we're trusting God to lead us by faith to the promised land. And those things in our lives that we're praying about and that we want God to change. As we leave Egypt, those things will work themselves out by faith because God is good. We believe by faith because God is good. He's a good Father. So let's do that in a count of three. If you're ready to just take that step and say, Lord, lead me. I trust You by faith. Let's stand. One, two, three.